There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
Hey, I'm Tyler.
And I am the Grinch.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
Good word. Well, hey there, girl. I bet you heard that. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
I'm so tired of all this turkey stench. The family thinks it's cool. It makes me want to gruel.
Oh, what is happening? It's the Whitetail Weatherman bringing you the latest in the Whitetail Woods. My name is Tyler, and I have got a north wind weather report for you today. I think across most of the country, we've got some cooler temps happening. And that's kind of odd for this November, KC.
That should be pretty standard for these dates, but it's been real hot. Not hot. Yeah. The reason Tyler's saying, oh my goodness, is because Christmas has thrown up, ate it and thrown up again in my house right now. The elderly lady left us a bunch of Christmas decorations that my wife just gets to go through and just lay places. And then hide my keys from me for 2 days and counting. So that's why I'm the Grinch. I need to get over that right now because it's a happy podcast. But
yeah, it is.
I've been to 4 Thanksgivings, just wrapped up my last one, and I am done.
Done.
Not that I have anything against the people I was at Thanksgiving with, but I am done doing this.
It'd be nice if people could come together.
Right now.
For turkey.
Ding, 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 ding. But we should be seeing some deer hit the ground pretty soon,
man.
I think.
I hope there are deer, because dadgummit, man. I've been after it this November. And since the early November, it has been dreary.
Yeah.
I've had some good encounters.
Locally, we had... what is pre-rut for us and kind of, deep rut for most people. We had that kind of thing going on. You killed the deer on public in Texas. He was falling a doe. And then after that, it's been bad.
Yeah.
Like, not even tough, like bad.
Man.
I haven't seen a deer from a stand at my property. Well, I went to Kansas in between there, so it's not. But maybe, you just say 4 hunts, I haven't seen a deer.
Yeah.
It's like. That's dumb.
I've sat the last 4 evening and mornings that I could sit so far, and haven't seen a single deer. But before that, I was seeing 3 to 18 deer every night and every morning, and was after a decent buck that has disappeared. I don't know where he's at. I've seen him on camera recently, but that's 5-6 days ago. So it's like, man,
Which he had done this to you before, though, too.
Right? Yeah, yeah, he kind of did have that little period. But and I've had some encounters with him, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's getting to the point where I'm like, man, is this deer, you know, really worth not going to Kansas for? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I mean, that's only for me to decide, you know. Because the thing is, you can go to Kansas and shoot big old bucks, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And probably see more and have more encounters and maybe have more fun, depending.
On the see more, I don't know.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, but we have branched out. And because of that, I think we have maybe found a place where we could see more deer, maybe.
Possibly.
You know what I mean?
Or at least the right ones.
So.
But.
don't go too fast here.
Before that. Guys, listen. Awesome things happened this November,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into another one here pretty quick. We're going to talk about it. But the biggest, not the biggest, one of the coolest things happened. We surpassed 10,000 subscribers on YouTube.
10K.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And thank y'all very much. What a fitting month for that to happen. You know, the month of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We're thankful for everyone who subscribes to us on YouTube. If you haven't, I can't imagine that you're still listening to this podcast because we tell you to very often. But if you haven't, and if you have, it doesn't matter. But go make sure you are subscribed to YouTube because that will be key in you being eligible for our 10,000 subscriber giveaway. What, what? Okay,
whoa, what?
This ain't just like, hey, guys, let's give you a ball cap, okay? Like, this is probably our first, like, for real giveaway. I mean, we gave away Exus trail cameras, some binoculars, some stuff like that in the past for podcast reviews, which you can always go and leave us, and who knows, you might get extra credit for that. But right now,
cross-referencing can matter.
That's right. That's right. We're going to do – okay, so guys, we've never done this before either, but we're going to put some incentive on tagging friends and sharing stuff in this giveaway. But we
have to earn it.
Yeah, that's right. Like, we won't – you know, spam your friends too much, but like they need to hear about the element.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, surely you got three hunting buddies.
That's,
you know,
right.
What I mean?
Exactly. So look for some of that. But what I really want to drive home here, Tyler and I do, is that the way that you are eligible for this giveaway is you have to be subscribed to us on YouTube. And at some point in time, we will make you prove your subscription in some way, shape, or form. So we will be choosing from our list of subscribers. Make sure you're subscribed. And let's just run down the list a little bit of the stuff that we're giving away.
Okay.
We're going to give away a Sitka pack.
Yeah.
We're going to give away...
which we've been using all year. It's our favorite Sitka pack.
Favorite one.
That we are using right now.
We're going to give away a Cobra release.
Yes.
We're going to give away... maybe an extra trail camera, right? We're going to give away an extra trail camera. We're going to give away some natural gear camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give away a Reinhardt target.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that every single giveaway comes with an Elite Onyx membership. Mm-hmm. Guys, that's not the single state. That is all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same one that Tyler and I use all the time to find big bucks, okay? So, like...
does that include Mexico?
That's not a state.
Well, Puerto Rico?
Or a province. Probably, maybe Puerto Rico. I don't know. I actually haven't looked at Hawaii on Onyx. I wonder how much is going on. But there's a lot of public land in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So, probably isn't a bad place. Apparently, you know, I guess 2018, 2019, it was real, you know, cool to go over there and hunt Axis in Hawaii.
It was cool if you had like 10 grand.
Yeah, and then people figured out, oh, we don't have to fly to Hawaii to do this. but anyways, that's real cool that Onyx has decided to support us. And all these brands are brands that support us, guys, and we're really appreciative of them. And we want to share our appreciation with you and show you that we appreciate you as well. So the way this is going to be structured is we're going to have four... I don't know how to say them. Four standard giveaways, four prizes,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a grand prize.
Yeah.
All right. The grand prize is like a combination of all of those things.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna be like leaving like $2,000 worth of stuff probably if you win the grand prize. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, be sure you're subscribed on YouTube, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff come out on YouTube right now, by the way. You should go check out Tyler's Texas Buck is on there. It's been out for about a week. And then
Everybody would rather see you rattle in a deer and
apparently
have hogs ruining.
YouTube's a funny,
crazy,
funny thing,
dude,
man.
I don't understand.
It's just you hit an algorithm. Algorithms have ruined everything pretty much. But
YouTube has something against Texas deer, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
Because both
we've
the
never
Texas
done
buck
good
videos
with Texas.
Haven't done good. No. It's like nobody cares. People would rather see me shoot a smaller deer in Iowa than, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, it is real weird. But go check all that out. And then we're going to have our Kansas series coming up soon. And in that Kansas series, it's probably going to maybe wrap up with a big buck.
Big buck down, big buck down.
I didn't get
Anthony
to.
Anthony just texted me.
What did he say?
He said, there's still some rutting. Just heard a buck in the draw just north of me scream by chasing a doe.
Scream, heard him scream by?
That's exactly what I was saying. I said, buck scream.
That's what your grunt called it. Like,
somebody cracked on it the other day in the YouTube video.
Oh, yeah. They said, like, yeah, you definitely.
You need a grunt call.
It's bad, dude.
I know. It's like, you can hear me going.
Yeah, trying to get it to pop.
Get.
Oh, man. Go watch that Texas video and tell us if you would have passed that buck that I passed or not.
Yeah.
Because the more I watch it, the more I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. but you're just trying to do your best by the law, you know. But
yeah.
And when you look and review footage, you're like, oof,
yep.
That deer's big.
Just a good old boy, man. That's what you are.
But we came back after, well, I guess we need to discuss, the last podcast with you and I, we told people about getting the Rona and coming home. So we came home, got over the Rona, didn't do a whole lot. You hunted for quite a bit. I hunted a little bit.
I've been hunting. It's straight up Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
It's get up at the exact same time, walk out, drive to this property, get in the stand, sit there in the dark forever, look at Facebook, pray, then it gets light, and does come out. It's the same thing every day, dude. I'm about to go crazy.
Oh, man. Sometimes I just, I don't know. I'm glad that we live in a world where there are trail cameras and we have our friends at Exodus and all that, but
you'd rather not have our friends at Exodus.
If we didn't have trail cameras at all, I think our lives would be less stressful.
It may be, man.
Yeah,
it
because what would have happened is I would have went to Kansas and sat over a corn pile one hunt and said, I'm out of here. But instead, let's see. I guess it was, well, I've been talking to my wife about like when would be a good time to go, because I knew I needed to go back to Kansas to try to shoot a deer. And we have to work through all the Thanksgivings. Like I said, we had four of them, and they've gone on since like November 14th until today, which is the 29th, I think, right? So it's just Thanksgiving fest up in here. That's over half the month. Okay. And also I'm the cook in our little family unit here, so just keep that in mind.
So much fun.
So much funsies.
Cooking for four turkey days.
Yeah, I gotta love it. I didn't cook any turkey, so that's...
Shrimp and cheese, baby.
That's right, dude. Shrimp toast is where it's at. I think I just left on a Friday. I was going to try to leave Thursday, and I was going to try to leave Friday morning, and I believe in Friday afternoon. I can't remember these dates, so whatever, Friday the 20th or something like that, probably. 19th. No, 19th was my anniversary.
Yeah.
So I probably left the 20th. No, Thursday was the 20th. I left the 21st. Friday the 21st. If that sounds right, y'all check me. I don't really care.
Somewhere right in there.
Yeah. So made it to Kansas real late at night, later than what I'd like to. So I just kind of slept in the next morning and went and met up with our buddy up there, and we just kind of drove around, and it was a cold front day. So there was deer on their feet, and we were getting all hype and stuff. And then I went in and set this property that we've got quite a few big deer on camera at, and a couple deer that we've got history with. Me in particular, there's a giant 8-point over there that I had at 50 yards last year. And
he's even
didn't get
bigger
a shot
this year.
Yeah, he's, dude, I don't know how big that deer is.
Yeah, it's questionable because of his body size.
But overall, like, this deer is at least in the same class as the deer that you shot in Illinois. At least that class. If you saw him on the hoof, there's no telling what he is. So, anyways, enough to really dedicate yourself to a spot, even if it's kind of tough. Well, for the next three hunts, I go over there and sit and hardly see deer. One of the evenings, I sat there and I saw quite a few bucks. That was the evening. I saw quite a few 3-year-olds, a couple young deer, and some does. And then the next day, I went over there and saw Jack Diddley again. And it's just...
Didn't see Jack Summers, though.
Didn't see Jack Summers, no. He was trying to walk there. It's a place that Tyler and I both know that, like, sooner or later, you'll be able to shoot a big deer on. It's just a woodlot next to some food. It's a good spot. But, dadgummit, man, you feel boxed in there, especially because it's Kansas. Like, Kansas, one of the things you can do pretty much across the state is hang, in a pretty good tree and glass and look around and grunt at stuff you can see a long ways off or rattle or whatever, and you just can't really do that where we're sitting.
Well, also, it's very flat in that particular right there in that direct area. Mm-hmm. So you kind of feel like that if a deer doesn't end up right after daylight in your woodlot, especially if you're starting to get out of the rut a little bit, mm-hmm. like, then he's probably not going to be there that afternoon, and he's obviously not going to be there that morning, Like, mm-hmm. most of the time, unless you're in that just crazy couple of days during the rut, like, those deer aren't just going to, like, walk in there at 10 a.m., mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really like a pinch per se.
No, it's not connected really. It's just a block of timber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you're just kind of at the mercy of whatever ended up there in the dark.
Yeah.
And wasn't looking good. So I sat there, I don't know, 3 or 4 hunts. It's getting a little fuzzy at this point in time. And truth be told, we should have done this podcast sooner, but a lot of things happened where that didn't happen. But either way, pretty much in texting Tyler from the stand, like, dude, I hate this right now so much. And I got to that point where I wasn't having fun. I'm like, well, what am I doing? What is the point of this? I know that, like, we have the element, we're trying to, kill deer so that we can, do this for a living and yada yada. Y'all know our story. But if I'm not having fun trying to do that, then what's the point of doing it? So I kind of hinted at you. I was like, man, kind of thinking about throwing a sleeping bag in the truck and heading somewhere different, somewhere new. Because honestly, for me, I can go sit in a new place and not see anything and have way more fun than sit in a place that I have been a whole bunch and not see anything. Because if I go sit in a new place, I'm like, well,
you're eliminating.
Yeah.
You're doing something.
You're learning something, yeah, right? Yeah. And two, like, I haven't looked at that same hackberry tree over there 38 times. You know, it's just the third time I've looked at it or whatever, It's just I don't know, when you go somewhere new, there's a little bit of a, you just never know in 5 minutes what could happen, Whereas if you've set this and you know the routine and you know the Groundhog Day type thing where it's like, okay, it's about 7:45 in the morning, I hadn't seen anything, I'm probably not going to see anything, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know that feeling. So, you and I have been talking back and forth about some ideas and some things to go do. And our Kansas setup is pretty nice. We actually have a place to stay up there. So it's not like our tent camping type thing where mm-hmm. it's like, well, might as well pick up and move because, home's where your truck is. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have that warm meal at night, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So, anywhere within an hour is kind of reachable. But once you go past that, it's just not logistical to hunt that stuff. So we're talking about it, looking at it. Tyler's sending me some map dots. He's kind of scouting out some stuff for me. I think you were hunting at that point in time too, and we're kind of mapping and hunting or something.
I don't remember.
You might have had a Thanksgiving one of those days. That Saturday you had a Thanksgiving and you were looking at some stuff for me. And he's sending me map dots of stuff, and there's new stuff, and there's stuff that I already have dots on too, because I've pretty much dotted if you took pretty much the Continental Divide and then went east to the Mississippi, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit to the other side of the Mississippi, that's all red dots on my map. So I've pretty much mapped that whole part of the continental U.S. And then some few flyers outside of that too. But anyways, we were looking at map dots and stuff and like, yeah, it looks pretty good. Yeah, it looks cool. Maybe I'll go do that, whatever. And then I was like, man, I do think that I'd like to go do this whole camping thing or this whole sleeping in the truck thing, but I think for like the next day at least, I'm not quite set up to do it yet, so I'm going to go hunt and I'm going to make a good game plan if I'm going to go do that, as opposed to just driving and trying to figure something out on the road, you know? So I got up the next morning. We had looked at some stuff a little bit closer to home. You'd sent me some map dots I'd looked at before too and kind of wrote it off. And one morning I said, or no, it was an evening. I looked at a spot and I was like, I had driven past that in the past and I want to go check it out. Well, I ended up driving to this place and didn't see a deer. It was one of those places where there was a little bit of timber, but there's a lot of long grass. And our buddy Rod White, we had on the podcast a little while ago, he's legit. Mm-hmm. And even if he isn't legit, he can talk like he's legit, so it don't matter. You know, like, no, for real, he's good at stuff, but he's very articulate. You know, he can tell you the reason he thinks things, which is kind of rare in the deer hunting world.
Yeah.
I think it's probably because he comes from that technical archery side of things, so he's used to having to explain stuff, whereas he's not like the guy's like, well, you just find a trail and you just kill a deer, you know? Like, well, why is it so hard?
Yeah. But, you mean he didn't just say nope?
Yep. Okay. He wasn't like, nope.
Because I know some people that...
Yeah, some people just do that.
They just love telling you nope. That's cool.
Nope.
nope or nope.
No. Nah.
Either nah. matter. Whatever nope. it is. It's all so helpful.
But anyways, he talks about how like that post-rut, late-rut period, how he likes to go hunt finger timbers into long grass, CRP type stuff.
It's what? Funny. It's just a funny term.
Timber
finger
fingers?
Timbers.
Finger timbers. I can't talk. Good thing I have podcasts. It's, but that's what I did and didn't see anything. But I could see that there was deer sign there. But it was just one of those times. It was, I think, on a Saturday or Sunday. And there were just local people around. There was two old boys driving back and forth from each other's houses, like not far, drinking beer and just being loud and stuff. And it's like, I'm about to call the sheriff on you. And then there's like adjoining landowners driving their wheat fields in their ATVs or side-by-sides or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's where the deer were going to go. Cool. but anyways, sat in a new spot and wasn't quite as disappointed. But I'd seen some deer on the way up on private, but right next to public. And Tyler and I got to talking. It's like, man, I should give that another shot. So I decided the night before or that night that I would go give this public piece a shot. Get up real early, earlier than anybody else in camp. Like nobody has even got up to turn on the coffee pot yet, and I'm already leaving. Which ends up that nobody got up. They all slept in that day. but I get up, make the long drive, get there in the dark, park my truck, get out of my truck, and start walking. And not too long from where I started walking from, I come up to a very new five-wire fence. I'm like, what is going on here? There should not be a fence here. And this is one of those cases where I trust Onyx and what they say about stuff. However, like in our position, you can't get caught trespassing.
Can't shoot a 12 7/8 buck.
No, you can't do that stuff.
Got to be a little bit over conservative.
Yes, exactly. and rightfully so. You should be that way either way. Mm. But like in that case, if I was just a hunter, I'd been like, I know that's public. It's fine. I'm just going to go. But this fence is like, I mean, built within the last 6 months. You know, I'm like, man, I don't have a ton of time up here right now, but I have enough time where I can put this morning hunt off and go do some truck scouting, driving around, call the game warden and make sure this is okay for me to go into. So that's what I do. I actually call the game warden as soon as I get done right there. I kind of let it get a little bit later, about 7. Got his voicemail, left him voicemail. And decided to drive this other piece of public, which is pretty well known in the area at least, but it's kind of more, you know, duck spot or whatever. And there's a lot of deer sign there too, but just no trees. Anyways, truck scout all that, end up forgetting my sticks, leaving them there for a little while. I'll pick those up later. Get a call back from the game warden actually when I'm walking out on this place. And he says, yeah, you're good to go. You just cross that fence right there. That's just, you know, in case of cows or something. I don't really know what he said. But he's like, no, you're 100% legal. As soon as you cross that fence, you know, just make sure you stay within the mark boundaries. And actually, he said, we use Onyx. The state provides us with Onyx, and that's how we decide where the public-private lines are, is by Onyx. So I was like, well, that's cool. So pretty much if you know. If you see that it's public on Onyx, that's what they're going to go by too, at least in Kansas. So I kind of am elated that he called me. He's a nice guy. You know, like, it always feels good. Honestly, I've said this, I think I said this in an interview, but, like, man, the easiest way to figure something out is just call the game warden. You know, you can get on some confusing DNR website and not have a clue what they're trying to say because they're wording it in some legal jargon that we don't speak. Or you can just call up your local game warden or your non-local game warden if you're out of state, especially if you're out of state, and just be like, hey, what should I do right here? And he'll tell you.
Dude, I had, which they're called conservation officers in Illinois.
Yeah.
But had a great interaction with one while I was up there, and he was helping me through the whole process because it was a bunch of new stuff, and and super helpful guy, man. Like, and he was like, man, I'm out here to teach y'all how to do this as out of staters, not to write you tickets, you know. Y'all already spending $500 on a tag, you know, whatever.
Exactly. I appreciate that they appreciate us. You know, we're bringing economy to their economy, or whatever, however you want to say it, you know.
Economy to their economy.
Exactly.
I like it.
I think that's, those are both correct.
Those can definitely work.
Yeah. It's just kind of a funny way to say things.
As an economist, I like that.
Oh, man. Ooh. So, I'm stoked, because then I know that I can drive back and hunt that place that I originally wanted to hunt that morning. And I call you and tell you all this stuff, and Tyler's my personal psychiatrist, in case y'all didn't know, counselor. And, we're talking about stuff, and he's like, well, what do you think about this over here, and what about this over there? And we're looking back and forth, and then we maybe find a name or two on the map that is familiar to the outdoor space, and say, oh, I'm really excited now. But we decide, or not we, I guess I was driving down one side of this public, and wouldn't you know, I look out the window, and there is a 5+ year old buck locked down on a doe 100 yards from the road, and he is standing on the property line. Like, legit is one step from being on public, and the doe's on public. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
About to turn into a bone collector.
Oh, dude, I didn't know what to do. And I think, was I on the phone with you when I saw that deer, or did I call you and tell you about it?
I think you called me.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is not a back road, you know? Like, this is a pretty big highway. And I'm thinking, man, by myself, it's going to be tough. And then I kind of remember, like, how much camera equipment that I'd gone up there with. I was like, you know, I could put my camera on the tripod and do this. I did it last year. So I talked myself into it. I was like, all right, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to grunt this thing in, snort wheeze him or whatever. I'm going to shoot him on the ground. Hey, I actually have some decent footage of him, and I got a real good picture through that. We got a Maven spotting scope that we have on a window mount. That thing was legit. The window mount especially was nice to have driving around truck scouting. But I took a picture on my phone through there, and you could see him. He's pretty wide, big old square body deer, and but he's only like a 5-point. Like, would be a 7, but he has no brows, so he's like a 5. Just almost like one of those deer who's gone downhill in the antler department because he's so old. Which, believe me, give him to me. That's so cool. You know, I mean, I love score, and that's cool. I haven't killed a lot of big deer. So, to me, like, just shooting an old deer is awesome, you know. And so I went in there and attempted to park the truck. I kind of drove further away from him than I had to, and I parked the truck and got out and kind of snuck down behind this terrain and got to where I thought was like 50 yards from him or so, and grunted some. It was real windy, and he probably didn't hear me. Snort wheezed, nothing. Sat there for a while, grunted some more, nothing. And I was like, all right, well, I don't think I can move a lot closer without probably bumping him, and I may already had, I don't know, but I said, I'm gonna rattle just to see. Maybe he thinks that two other bucks are fighting over his doe, and he's going to come over and see what's happening. So I get all set up. I get my camera gear set up. I lean up against this cottonwood stump, and I have on natural gear. And, dude, let me tell you, I'm a believer in how good Natural Gear works in that terrain. On the ground, like, it looks so good, man.
It does,
You're
man.
Just the color of the dirt and the grass. And I know deer get hyped up
it's
in the
elements,
rut.
Dude. It's the elements.
It's the elements.
It's the color of the elements.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll start rattling. And I'm giving it to it. You know, like, my wrists are hurting because I'm pushing them together so hard. Well, I look over to my right, and there's, like, there's some cedar trees, and there's, like, a little gap in the cedars. And you, if you hunted much, you've seen this, where there's, like, daylight on the other side of the cedars, but you can't really see what's over there. And I see a flash, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's about to happen. So I get the bow, and I get my camera turned around and pointed over that direction, and I see a deer come, you know, kind of dip down under these cedar limbs, and I could see antlers. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm about to shoot this deer in the chest at 10 yards. Well, I get the camera on him good, and then I figure out it's like a year-and-a-half-old buck. Not that, like, I'm super disappointed because it's cool to rattle in deer, but, like, I thought it was the big deer, and I was going to shoot him.
I mean, it's late November. You're hoping that something happens for
you. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm not just like a wildlife viewer at this point in time, you know. Yeah. So, this little buck.
If you were, you wouldn't be, you know, spending money or paying taxes.
Exactly.
That hunters do. So,
exactly.
Just to make a point.
Yeah, good point. Yep. That's a good one. This little buck is hyped up on the rattling, comes in, not running, but just like on a fast walk, you know, like, you know, like, what's going on over here, that kind of thing. And ends up, to kind of shorten the story, this deer makes it to where he is probably 3 foot from the end of my arrow. So 6 foot from me or so, you know what I mean? Like, he's so, this is a, I thought last year was the closest I'd ever been to a deer on the ground when that doe, rattling that doe. This deer was closer than her.
Dude, this footage is better, too.
It's freaking so cool, dude. Yeah. Because I'm like, I'm just going to move the camera with him. Because he looks at me for a little bit, and then he's like, ah, that's not a deer. That's,
it's like nothing to lose.
Yeah,
you know?
That was his thought process. You know, he was like, I guess he wasn't registering danger at all. He was just looking for the deer making that noise. And he saw me and probably saw the tripod more than anything in the camera and was like, ah, it's not a deer. So he just walks by right in front of it and then goes and stands up here and like looks back and he's like, maybe gonna come back to me. And I kind of move to adjust or whatever. I was like, at that point in time, I was like, well, I don't care if he runs away, you know, like what's he gonna, what, I can't keep him here forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he like sees me and gets real still and then he just loses his mind and runs off and it's funny. And then in the same frame, I just pan the camera. And it's like, I didn't have to turn it 180, you know, it's like, poof, just a little bit. And it's like, that was so close, you know. And then I proceeded to do a little bit more rattling and grunting and stuff in there and never saw anything. But I'd never seen the sign on public land that I saw in there. I mean, it was a scrape or a rub every 20 feet.
We found a pretty good spot. I mean, apparently.
Yeah, 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 yeah. This is a good spot.
Yeah.
This is a real good spot. And that spot, when that's not even far from the road.
Yeah.
It gets even better, further from the road. And so, Tyler and I, again, discuss after that event what to do. Because by about this point in time, it's about noon. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the afternoon. And I need to get in there pretty early, especially if I'm going to haul way back in here. Because this is a place you can go way back on. It's pretty big. We decide that there's a couple ag food sources going from each direction from the entry point. And I decide to go, or after Tyler and I talk, I decide to go to the deeper one. Just because it's like, hey, we're here. Why not haul off in there? You know, no reason and no reservations, as they say, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I have to eat Pop-Tarts for lunch and this and that because I didn't really bring any hardcore lunch with me, just some apples and stuff. I've been trying to finally I got it paid, but I've been trying to pay my electric bill for like a week straight at that point in time, and I keep getting different answers from different people as to why my pen no longer works for my electronic thing or whatever.
Oh, fine.
So finally at 2 p.m. I told the lady, I was like, you know what, I got to figure this out later. I'll talk to you later. You know, she was to help me however good she could. It wasn't her fault. But so went into the woods without my electric bill being paid, hoping that my wife and child would have electricity and heat for the evening back home in Texas.
Luckily, it's been moderate weather.
That's right, luckily. And she doesn't live far from her family or mine. So I put all my stuff on my back. I'm saddle hunting, so I don't have a ton of things. I brought in those little single steps, so they're pretty lightweight, and I can fit them, my camera base and my camera arm, all in my little sick bag pretty easy. And I start walking in, and I'm just seeing sign everywhere, man, just scrapes and rubs just the whole way in. And I'm thinking, man, should I stop and set up on some of this stuff? I'm like, no. By this point in time in the rut, like, these does are going to be hitting food in the evenings, and I need to be close to food. That's what I need to do, because those bucks are going to cruise around that food. So I push in. It's almost a mile back to where this ag food source is. I found a spot pretty open where a couple intersecting trails are, where there's some habitat to the south that deer are bedding in, and then there's like a parallel trail to the fence row where the ag is. So I kind of set up in the spot where these all intersect, and found a really great tree. And one of the cool things about saddle hunting is I feel like you can kind of get up in the middle of some trees sometimes, or like the tree I got in was a cottonwood that had like three main trunks. So I was kind of in the middle of those three, and just felt like I was impervious, you know, like mm-hmm. I just couldn't be seen, which maybe I could, maybe I couldn't, but it's good to have that confident feel, at least when you get up in there. So, got up in that. Oh, I dropped something on the ground. I had to get down and get. That was fun. I don't remember what it was.
Rangefinder, I think, wasn't it? Or was that a different day?
I saw it was my binos.
I saw an interview. Oh, it was probably from the first Kansas trip where you're like, I dropped my rangefinder.
Yeah, I did that too. I drop things a lot. It's kind of bad sometimes. Sometimes you got to get down and get it, and sometimes you can just leave it on the ground depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. But I didn't need a rangefinder too much. There was a couple things. I had some longer shots, but one of my goals this year has been to set up for like 20 yards and end shots, you know, because in the past I've been pretty guilty of setting up for like a 30-yard shot. And in the yard, I can make that all day, every day. But in real-world scenarios, especially with deer who like to jump and move, 30 yards is a poke, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cam Haynes will tell you something different, and he's definitely hunting more elk than he is anything else, you know. And you know, 30 yards is a close shot on elk. But, like, guys, when you're hunting whitetails, it pays to get close. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what bow hunting's all about, too, getting close to them. Yeah. So, well, that's
kind of... Want to be on the X, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Oh, man. So
that's more of a waterfowler's term, though.
Yeah, it is kind of a waterfowler term. The X.
So I guess we should stop using it.
I mean, we might shoot some ducks. Okay. But we can borrow it.
Okay.
I was on the X of the trails, for sure.
Yeah.
Actually,
that's a common theme for the element in the last couple of years.
It is, dude.
Multi-trail intersections.
Yeah. Go out of state, go to a place where there are trails, and then find out where those trails
all come together.
All come together.
There's a reason.
A place to be there. Yeah. I get hung in the tree, and I'm pretty much set up by about 3. And I'm doing a little phoning, you know, whenever you're running a brand and doing the social media thing, you got to do a little bit of stuff here and there along while you're hunting, and you know, doing it carefully and watching and looking. And it's real windy, so you can get away with, you know, twisting and looking around. But man, I didn't see anything. And by about 4:30, I'm thinking, man, am I an idiot? Like, there's probably a ginormous buck eating at a corn pile on private land down there where I can go hunt. But no, I'm up here on public land, place where everybody else can go hunt, and being stupid. But I don't know. I felt good about it still because it looked good. It just looked right. And truth be told, it's like, it's what I know, you know. It's sitting over a corn pile, I don't have anything against it. I did a whole bunch, but I haven't killed many deer doing that. I, of course, decided to stick it out because I was like, well, I'm not getting down early. So, you know, looking
around.
You walk
nearly a mile, exactly. So it's not fun to take down early after
no
that.
No reason to do that. And then that thought didn't really cross my mind. But I'm thinking, like, man, I'm just going to sit here and not see any deer and then have to call Tyler and talk about a new plan, you know, for tomorrow. But I'm thinking this happened around 4:55, from what I can tell. I haven't – you can probably look at the file on video and tell exactly when it was. But – I'm thinking about 4:55. I hear something that I think is a grunt. I don't know if that happened or not. That's not on footage, but I think I hear a grunt. And I look up, directly upwind of me, and I see a buck. And he's in cruise mode.
How far?
200 yards-ish. I don't know for sure. 200 yards. Between 150 and 200. And he is just moving at a pretty good click away from me, pretty much. Because when I heard him and saw him, he was kind of directly in line with me, moving to the right. And he's continuing on that path. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, so it's like I've committed myself to filming. So the first thing I do is I get the camera on and get it on him. And then I grunt. And he doesn't hear it. I grunt again. He doesn't hear it. And finally, bang, I hit him with just a black, you know, just a good old hard something. And that stops him. And he turns his head, looks at me. Looks back in front of him where he was headed.
This is the part I love. Because it's like, do they process this?
I think so. I think they're weighing
out. They do that sometimes. Well, they'll like look back forward, mm-hmm. and you're like, is he just going to keep going?
He's like weighing his options of, he's like, this is what I think's up there. This is what I think I heard over here. But that's what I think's up there. And he said, I'm going to go to what I heard over here. And he turns his shoulders and starts to jog to me. I'm losing my mind at that point in time, you know, because it's like, well, this deer's about to go out of my, oh, no, he's not. He's coming. So I grab my bow, get the camera on him, and he actually jumps from private onto public to come to me, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I lose sight of him. And I'm thinking from my scouting on the way in, I'm like, okay, I know the trail that he's probably about to take. And it's going to come out right here, like 8 yards from me. So I get the camera over, and I get set up, and I'm ready. He's framed up, like where I think he's going to be. And I just freeze. I'm not looking around. I ain't looking for nothing. I'm thinking, okay, he's going to be right there. I just need to be still. You know, it's kind of a rise up to where I'm at. So it's one of those situations where he could see me because his head's up, you know, looking. And little do I know, he actually is on a different trail on the way in that's like 10 yards further. And the whole time, he's like within my periphery, and I just don't see him because I'm so zoned in on this one spot. But he's actually on film.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize until we were reviewing footage, which is real cool. He had to cross a little creek to get to where I was, and he kind of like stood in the middle of the creek, like looking around for a little bit. It's pretty cool. But then he starts to walk towards me, towards the grunt he heard, and I finally see him when he's at like 22 or 3 yards. I see him, and I'm like, oh, no! You know, so I kind of like, he goes behind a tree for just a second. I spin the camera around, and he pops out at 20 yards, and he's in frame. I check that, so I go to draw, and he's like, doesn't have a care in the world at this moment, and all of a sudden, he decides to sprint. And I'm like, did he catch me drawing? You know, what's going on? How did he do that? You know, and he sprints from 20 yards to 10 yards and then locks it up and stops and eats a leaf at 10 yards. And I'm thinking, it just lost my mind, you know, because I thought that it was over for a half a second. And then he's right there at 10 yards. I'm like, okay, this is chip shot, right? Like, this is what I've been waiting for. So I'm at full draw. I went ahead and drew whenever he was running in because I was halfway through it anyways. And I get over, and he's kind of like in the camera frame, but his head's out of the picture. So I've done this before, and it doesn't work out very good. Actually, it worked out pretty good in South Dakota. But I try to adjust the camera with my bow to scoot it over, and that wasn't the best idea. So I just said that's futile. And so I had to kind of like do the whole squat and shoot thing a little bit because I had some limbs and stuff kind of up above. I probably could have got away with it, but I was like, I'd rather just be safe. So I squat down, I pick my spot, and he's at 10 yards. So, I mean, if you look back, you've talked about this before, but like, what's our average time of draw to shot?
Less than 4 seconds.
This was probably less than 4 seconds for sure. It's probably less than two from when he got stationary to when I shot, you mm-hmm. know. But in my mind, it's like that was like 30 seconds, you know. It's weird. But I kind of like, you know, get down, make sure my anchor's good. I made sure my bubble was good, and squeeze off. And I thought, I ripped this sucker, man. It looks so good. And as soon I follow him with the camera, and I see him, and he bounds over this other fence, and he is in tall grass. So I'm like, okay, I didn't see him fall. That's always not the funnest. But then I look over, and it's starting to get a little bit dusky outside, but it's still pretty daylight. I could see blood on the ground from where I was in the tree. I'm like, that's a good thing.
Yep.
And then I get my binos, and I can see my arrow, and it's good and pink. And I'm like, that's a good thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really remember what happened from there. I had the GoPro on and probably said a bunch of silly things. But, you know, it's just always that crazy emotion of, I'm so thankful, but also I don't know if I should kill this deer. You know, like, I don't know what's going on right now. Who should I call? What should I do?
It's hard to do interviews after a deer runs off and you didn't see him fall.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you want to be stoked. Uh-huh. And you are, to an extent. And then you're also extremely nervous.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to be the fool that's like, oh, yeah, I smoked him. Yeah.
And if you haven't hunted, you don't quite get that. And you probably don't listen to this podcast. But, like, there's some joy and gratefulness involved just by the encounter alone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, man, that was just freaking cool, you know, no matter what happens from here. And I talked about this a little bit, and you'll see in the interview, but like Tyler talked about themes of what the element does. I think that prayer is going to be a big theme for us this year. And I'm not going to go as far as to say that if you pray, God gives you a big deer, because that's not how it works. But, you know, sometimes he does, and that's when it's real fun. sometimes it works out that way,
yeah.
But there's a lot of external factors that are involved with the way things go, man. Sometimes you're just not meant for success until a certain point.
Yeah.
And we had a big long talk about that the other day.
Yeah. Well, there's a, you know, like when, you know, you pray for something like that and you're blessed with it, like now the question should be, instead of just being thankful, is like, what do I do with this? Like,
yeah.
How do I?
Absolutely.
You know, and then in either way, like I've been thinking about this a lot throughout the season is like, well, like, how do I react on camera, whether I kill a deer or not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what should I do with this? Because there's somehow this is working towards glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So something I've been thinking about a lot.
You got to make sure what part you play in that whole thing,
yeah.
You know? And that's the weird part. And at the same time, if you make yourself out to be a fool, cause you're like fist bumping and going crazy over a deer you shot in the guts, you know, like it's not good, right? So you got to kind of make sure that you're practicing some self-control in that moment. But anyways, I got down, trailed the deer a little ways. Blood was decent, not great. I reviewed footage and looked, and ends up my shot is not as perfectly placed as I would have liked it. I hit exactly where I aimed. But in hindsight, I wish I would have aimed a little bit better.
Dude, deer body angles are always more dramatic than you think.
It is.
Isn't it crazy, man?
Yeah, it is, like, man.
But they
do weird stuff. Like,
yeah.
deer are not a fixed
straight
item.
Line.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, it's not just quartering two.
Yeah.
They also can be arching quartering two and you know, waning crescents, you know what I mean? Like all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what ends up happening, and we'll get into that. But yeah, like, man, you just don't realize what a deer's body is doing sometimes until after you get to watch that footage. And at the same time, I lost that deer. He didn't die, but, you know, I shot at a deer and didn't kill him in South Dakota. A lot of people, you know, Brian, our buddy at day six, you know, he's killed a lot of deer. He's like, man, you're just aiming too high. You got to aim lower, you know? And that's what was going through my head, specifically Brian saying that on this deer, you know, Casey just needs to aim lower. Well, sometimes that's not the case, you know, but that's just what was in my mind. And so I aimed, you know, like bottom third line, and at 10 yards, a deer's not going to jump string.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell this deer actually did move on the string, but it was like, you know, minimal before the air could get there, right? Well, ends up, like I said, the shot's not as perfect as what I would like. I should have just aimed up in that triangle And instead,
if the deer was broadside, it's like heart shot city.
Oh, it's ripped.
I mean, it is ripped, but he's kind of angled too. So, I mean, it's still a great shot.
It worked out.
I mean,
not to give it away, but you guys probably know.
You probably already know.
Yeah.
But it worked out actually really well. It was, it's not that it just like, we worked really hard to make it work out.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a good shot.
Yeah.
But you could, by watching the footage and by following blood, you could lead yourself to believe that it wasn't a good shot.
Yeah. And you can afterwards, I'm guessing you feel like you could have put it in a different spot, like you said, triangle or
whatever. Yes, absolutely. I could have shot him in a different spot.
Yeah.
But between, there's a couple factors, and I'll talk about them a little bit. I know I'm getting kind of verbose with this, but with how close the deer was and how he just freaked out, I was thinking I didn't know how much time I had with this deer in my life.
That's also like a public land thing.
Yeah, he didn't run to a corn pile and stand there. Yeah. You know, like he ate a cottonwood leaf, so he, you know, he ain't gonna stick around. No,
he's like, that was nasty. Let's go find some wheat.
That's right. So that was going on. He also, if he took another like step or two, I would have to really readjust my whole body and where my shooting lane was to shoot him. So I was thinking, I need to shoot him right now, because if I have to go, have to swing my bow up over my camera arm and around this other limb, like, he's going to see this.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to take this shot right here, right now. And I don't remember what my third thing was. Probably I was just freaking nervous. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But all that stuff going on, that's where I decided to shoot, you know. And sometimes, and maybe I need to work on this, maybe this is target panic or something, I don't know. But, like, I don't always shoot on like the perfect hair or whatever. I shoot when I'm the steadiest, you know, and I think that's probably a good thing to an extent. You know, like whenever I settled that pin, I was like, oh yeah. You know, and just, you know, it just squoze off as you
squoze.
Like to hear me say. and it felt real good, you know, and of course at 10 yards, your air is not going to be wobbling too much, but you can watch on footage, you know, my air is just shooting like a bullet, you know, it's flying good.
I'd like rips for mine to do that.
And, anyway, so we get back to where I kind of started really struggling to find blood because it was dark. We're shooting those day six broadheads, which they penetrate great and they are sharp as all get out. But, it's not a giant cut, you know? So, there's a chance if you hit a deer a little weird, you're not going to have a ton of blood. There's no perfect equipment out there, right? Otherwise, if there was, that's the only thing people would use. I like these broadheads, and I'm going to continue to use them. But they're going to have things that they're not as good at as like a giant 3.5-inch cutting razor blade thing, right? But I think that the pros outweigh the cons for sure. So, decide to pull out for the evening, which in Kansas is usually just a coyote sentence.
Yeah.
It is
and
not.
And part of that is you didn't have cell phone battery.
Yeah. I was on 1%.
Yeah.
At that moment. And I was like, I got to leave.
You had one light with you, I guess, you know, so.
Yeah. It's when you're self filming.
It's a tough thing to do
hunting
by yourself, dude.
It's tough. And it's tough to make these decisions, which, you know, some guys get off on that whole lone wolf type thing or whatever, you know, but that just isn't me too much. I actually had a lot of fun doing this by myself, but like, the older I get, the more I realize having a support group is real nice to have, you know? So decided to pull out, go back to camp. Your dad and Drew are there, and they are like, you know, pretty, optimistic about everything, which was nice, you know? They've killed quite a few deer and, you know, when you, the opinions of someone who's killed a few deer means a whole lot on things like this. So, we eat good that night and get up the next morning and go and start looking for the deer. And, the deer actually went on to private land. So in Kansas you have, a right to pursue your game without a weapon and to recover them on private land. However, I thought it would be good to call the landowner, make sure, you know, position we're in, you know, like, hey, you need to make sure that you don't get shot at or have to punch a guy in the face or out of self-defense, you know, or whatever. But I actually called the game warden first because I'd already talked to him. He's a nice guy. I was like, hey, I shot a deer on public and it ran onto this property, got the landowner name off of Onyx, and I said, do you know them? And do you got their number so I can call them? He said, you have the legal right to pursue your game. Just don't bring a weapon. You can go in on their property and do it. I'll call the landowner for you. Y'all go ahead and go, which was, he didn't have to do that, you know, just being a good dude. So I really appreciated that. And went in and took those two guys with me, brought the deer cart in, and picked up the trail where we'd left off. And
found the landowner gave you permission to walk in on his property, right?
Yes. Yes.
So that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Because so, otherwise it was for real mile pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually, yeah, that's right. It cut our walking distance in half because we could come in, you know, kind of down his two track or whatever.
Yeah.
So we.
Which for a parkie, like, dude, you're talking about a big deal.
Oh,
you know
dude,
what I mean?
Man.
These people. You know, they don't have a half mile of that they live in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you want to Uber for that.
If you want to live in the neighborhood, it's within a half mile.
That's right. Dadgum, it's funny. So we get out there, pick up the trail. I'm starting to mark it, you know, on Onyx, and your dad's old school. He's like, get some toilet paper out and mark it. So we do a little bit of both, which the toilet paper thing's pretty nice, too, to tell you the truth, because you can just visually look back. But, the grass we're in is like from, you know, at least chest high to the top of your head, high stuff, tall. And then for a little while we had just kind of a direction of travel. And then after that, it's like trails kind of start spider webbing. It's like, well, dadgummit, man, where'd he go? I didn't have great blood. Like, we never found good blood again, but we found spots here and there. There's a couple places to be like a quarter size spot or something on a couple blades of grass. And just... Once we got there that day and didn't find good blood pretty quick, I was leaning towards, like, I'm about to lose another deer. And I already called and told you the night before. I was like, I need to find this deer.
Yeah. 'Cause
I don't know what I need to be doing if I'm going to keep wounding deer and losing deer. You know, like, I didn't know what my future looked like at that moment, which is a scary place to be, to tell you the truth of the matter. It's not a good headspace.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm feeling pretty down in the dumps. And I already told all these guys, like, hey, if we see this deer, find this deer or whatever, and I'm not there, don't pull the whole, like, oh, come look at this, you know, or whatever. Like, tell me that he's there. Okay. So, your dad would be like, oh, yep, got blood right here. So, you know, every time somebody would do that, I'd feel a little bit better just because it's always good to find the next spot of blood. You know, so yep. We track and follow, and it's been like probably 15 or 20 minutes into it. We didn't track too long, and I'm kind of bringing up the rear, just making sure we're on the right trail, trying to find the little specks because I probably have the best vision of the three of us there. We have some mature bucks, and we got some mature bucks out there after this deer, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
The ones with the gray on the face. So they're finding the big specks up front, which I'm glad.
Big,
you know,
5 points.
Yeah, the big fives. but anyways, Drew is making these little J hooks and kind of looking around. And I'm kind of pretty close to him at this one point in time. And he goes, oh, yep, the got blood. And I look, and he's smiling so big. And I'm like, you don't have blood. And I freaking ran over and about tackled him, saw the deer. And then, you know, it was just an awesome, awesome feeling. You know, just I can't believe it. And to put a cherry on it, like, he's whole.
Yeah.
He's not eaten by coyotes at all, you know, which is just such a blessing because, A, you get the meat, and B, it's just it doesn't feel good to know that, like, you shot something and then – you know, dadgummit, the coyotes ate it. And,
yep.
Like, we don't do it all for just the meat, because if we did, we'd stay around here and fill all our doe tags.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big part of it. So if you don't get the meat, then you really just feel like this piece of crap trophy hunter that just wanted to shoot something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
or if you just go read your YouTube comments, you feel like that.
That's true. Yeah. Just don't read YouTube comments is the moral of the story. But, yeah, found the deer and got him out of there, man. It was... Pretty awesome experience all in all.
It's awesome, dude.
Pretty stoked. And he ends up being he's a mainframe 11.
Mm.
So six on one side, five on the other.
A 6x5.
A 6x5. How about that? But he broke off the last points on each side. So he's going to score as a 9.
Hmm. That little, he does have like a little one. That's
might give you a half inch, right?
I don't know. Is it, it's not scoreable, you don't think?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Yeah. But I'd call him a 9.
He looks like a 9, basically.
I'd call him a 9.
Yeah.
When I, and that's what I thought he was. People.
Yeah. He's a big 9.
Yeah. He has decent time
I think
length.
I told you you were going to shoot a big 9 this year.
Oh, you did.
I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, I need to tell myself I'm about to kill a big 10.
Prophecy. There's a Revelation 2 over here. Yeah, he's a big 9. He's got two things that are just absolutely stellar. He's got long brow tines and he's got big mass.
Yep.
And he's got decent tine length and decent main beams. So I haven't scored him. I probably will just because I'm excited about it. It's the first big deer I've ever shot, so I kind of want to know.
If you had to guess him.
Here's the deal. Me and my dad started doing some math the other night, and I got scared and stopped, okay, because it was quite a bit different than what you'd said.
Oh, yeah.
People say that you can take a Kansas deer and start out with 100 or 105, depending on the deer, and then just add tine length, and that's what you get.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, 105 is exceptional.
Yeah.
Like, big, big, big deer. 100 is... what, like, I think a lot of people say, this is the saying, at least, that it's an average. It's like an average big buck. You know what
so
I mean?
So that means average on mass and main beam length.
And width and everything else. So that's what I'm thinking.
Be,
he's not very wide.
He's going to be a little bit less than average on width, but he's probably above average on mass.
Yeah.
And probably right at average on main beams.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to... I thought on the hoof, low 140s.
Mm-hmm.
After looking at him and thinking about it, I think he's going to be above 145. I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, awesome.
It's hard to say. Yeah.
Well, so you are going to score him, though?
Yeah, I think
so. And you don't think you'll be disappointed if he goes 139 and 6/8?
No, he's freaking cool. Okay. It's a public land buck, dude.
Oh,
it's still
yeah.
139 is still what? 25 inches bigger than anything else I've ever shot. So,
and he's still going to Pope.
That's
so,
right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Pope to Pope, you know what I'm saying?
Going to spend that money and get him in the books.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But he's going to look real good right over there. So
yeah.
It's going to be my first shoulder mount.
Dude, I can picture it right
there.
Yeah, man.
We got to pick out some molds, man. It's because I took your Texas deer over there too whenever I went to taxidermist. So,
yeah. He asked me today if I know what I want, and I'm just ignoring him because I don't yet.
He didn't send me anything, so yeah. Good. He's giving me a little more time. It's good. He might have wanted to talk to you some or make sure I told you, probably. But
I'm going to have to – I'll probably do that in the stand, which it's sunny, which could be really good.
Dang.
So I'm going to have to get in the stand pretty soon. But
Ranger.
You know, one thing, I got to steal part of your story here for a different story. Real quick, but I told maybe the best dad joke I've ever told in my
life
the other day. So, because you said when you came on the deer, he was whole. And so it reminded me of this joke that I told where Colt and my two kids were going, we went bowling and arcading for my son's birthday, which happened during the middle of our extreme quarantine. So... our party was him and his cousin and his sister.
Perfect.
So we went just the other day after quarantine, and Colt shot a deer, and it's a pretty good buck. And they were talking about anacondas in the back seat, and they said
they don't want none.
And Colt goes, "Anaconda can eat a buck whole." And I said, "A buck whole." And they died laughing, dude. They laughed for 5 minutes straight, dude.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Funny. Freaking buckholes, dude. We found some buckholes.
We found some buckholes.
We have. That's pretty good. You know,
I'm hoping this place you found, or, you know, we found, I guess, but you killed in was a buckhole.
I'm hoping so, too. I think you could definitely go in there and kill again.
Well, I still have a tag.
You do. Tyler's actually... he wants me to go with him. I don't think I'm going to be able to find a babysitter, but we've got a Jack, so he can babysit.
I can
Jack.
Babysit, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
while
exactly.
he's up there. So. But you're fixing to head up probably in a day or two and head to Kansas and try to fill a tag. And we were probably going to discuss that more off air, but I'm going to highly suggest that that's a good place to go in that area over there. Yeah. So well, don't want to wear it out too much.
I hope I shoot a good shot and get a 10-yard shot because I've got two arrows right now. So
well, you need to grab a few more out of my case out there.
You have some?
Yeah.
How about that?
How about it?
Dang, I don't have an excuse anymore.
It's all right, dude. All I needed is one for this trip, so that's all you'll need.
Yeah.
First time for everything, though, for me. I can't remember how many trips I've gone and needed more than one arrow, but it's a lot. Sometimes grouse, though, and stuff, you know, you gotta throw that in there.
Well, you lost
an arrow. You lost an arrow to grouse.
I did. Lost an arrow to grouse. Lost two arrows during the Texas trip.
That's right.
Because of
you missed one, and then we couldn't find the other
one. Couldn't find the one that hit. So
tall grass is hard to find arrows in.
Yep. Well, man, I was so stoked when you found the deer. You called me. I was on the way up there.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
So, unless you just want to tell your side of it, but Tyler and I were talking. You know, like just elated. You know, you're the first person I called. Even my former wife, so don't tell her. We're talking about like what you know. You were being selfless, like, "Hey, should I come up there?" And I was like, "Man, I don't know. Maybe you should wait until I find him." You know, because I was being not very typical of KC, but I was kind of being a little bit pessimistic about finding him just because you didn't see him fall and. Some people didn't think it was a great shot, so it's like, well, crap.
But most people did.
Most people did.
Just
the right ones did.
Some negative Nancy's.
The wrong one didn't, but the right ones did. So take that for what you want. But I just didn't want you to head up there and us not have a deer. You drive and then have to go right back home because of Thanksgiving and stuff, you know. But it all worked out, and you were probably like 2 hours away when I found the deer. So it was like perfect. You showed up about the time we got him to the truck and or back to camp at least. And then we got some more pictures and video taken and got to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it worked out really well. And I, you know, everything timed out really well. The end of the day was good. We got to make it through some storms and stuff and got pictures taken and all kinds of stuff. But which we would have run up against dark if I had done this, but if I'd have stayed at 8:15 that morning at my property, there was a good buck.
Dadgummit.
And if I'd have hunted that, which on that wind, I probably would have.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually planning on hunting it, and then I get to town, and I'm like, I probably should just roll, because I'm looking at the time like, well, if it takes this long to do that, blah, blah, blah. So I went on. But, yeah, there was a good buck at the property that I'm hunting. And
everything was happening at once on the 23rd and 24th, because
Anthony just sent me trail camera video, broad daylight, right where he's hunting there in Kentucky, big deer on the 23rd.
Yeah. I had a big deer on the 23rd on my property.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a day to be out, man.
Yeah, there's something about it.
Yeah.
There's something. I think that was a good day last year, the 23rd, 24th of November, or something like that for our
trail
cameras. I like
those dates around here, man. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that much about Kansas. I mean, Kansas, honestly, there ain't a bad day from about November 1st to December 10th, honestly. Mm-hmm. They just rut for a long period of time up there.
They got their roam on.
They do, man. They just know that if they cover some ground, they can go find a doe.
Yeah. But they break all their horns off.
They break them all off. You know, I would have liked to have known how long my deer was an 11 before he broke those off.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what they looked like, but it didn't really matter that much. I'm stoked about him either way and stoked that you got up there and helped me out and we got to all hang out with, you know how like there's the Kiwanis Club. You know what the Kiwanis Club is? For those of you that don't know what the Kiwanis Club is, it's like a civic club of like businessmen who do some community service and stuff and
dress
together.
Up like baby bears that hang out and eat eucalyptus plants.
No, I think that's the Freemasons. We ain't standing, we ain't getting over there with them.
It's Lions Club, actually.
That's it, Lions Club, okay. But there's like these civic clubs, you know, or whatever. And then there's like the Golden K's, which is the slightly older version, or the Masters, what do they call that?
Sounds a little bit shady.
It does.
The current
What's the
temperature?
Senior climate. Tour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to hang out with the senior tour in camp.
Yeah.
And it was pretty fun, really. Yeah.
Yeah, because all they do is cook wonderful meals.
Oh, man. And then just argue the funniest things.
Yeah.
So, it was a good time. And then we all or you and I carpooled our way. We all did. We had four vehicles headed to Texas that day.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So as a
not very efficient,
well, not very efficient at all. But
I was almost up there for that trip, but I didn't make it.
Efficiency also left you behind.
Mr. Yeah. Efficient.
But you're about to go up there and kill a giant, and then we're gonna hone in on some Texas, maybe some public after that when we get back.
Man, hope
also,
so.
We might have the freshmen. They might be out trying to kill.
Oh yeah,
right
we've got the freshmen in Oklahoma right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that being Jack Summers and another guy that maybe we introduce y'all to in the future.
Yeah. So, I imagine we do.
Yeah. So, wish them luck, even though you don't know who they are, really.
they need it. They finding other dudes' blood trails right now. Which I've done that before too.
Yeah,
I've been in the woods actually looking for an elk blood trail and found the wrong blood trail. That's a weird deal.
It's fine.
You gotta really use some
it's like some
critical thought.
You know, Mike, what's his name from Midwest Whitetail last year in the big 200 that he shot? Remember that?
When he swam the river?
Well, he shot a coyote, too, like right before, and then he got the blood trails mixed up.
Yeah, that's a good reason to not shoot a coyote. Yeah. When you're in the woods with a 200, no thanks.
Yeah, let's just kill it.
Or us in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Jack found that blood in the middle of pasture was not my deer.
Yeah, how about that?
And we found a dead deer that wasn't my deer.
Yeah, that
you
freaked me out.
You saw that thing. Yeah. Tyler glassed up that deer. We probably talked about that.
When we saw it, I was like, that's 100% your deer. And then I put the binos up, and I was like, okay, what's happening? This is creepy.
Yeah. Just a random dead deer in the woods. But anyways, we got two toads at the taxidermist,
mm-hmm.
and you're about to go shoot another one. You got three?
Three toads.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about Illinois bucks there, too. we're buying his kids Christmas.
Listen, guys, can y'all buy a T-shirt? Don't buy a large olive, though.
It's on back order. Yeah.
Well, anyway, dude, congrats.
Thank you.
I know I've already told you that, but I got to tell you on the podcast,
appreciate
it's formal.
It.
So,
yeah.
But, dude, I was so pumped, man. Like, such a good time. Such a fun deal for me to get back behind the camera and do some stuff this year, man, behind the camera a little bit and take some cool stills. And
yeah, I've been the guy taking the video and stills of somebody else's dead deer for quite a while. So it was kind of nice to be the guy just sitting there in the rain while somebody takes pictures.
Meat buck, dude.
Dude.
That was just 2019.
That's true. It hasn't been that long.
No, but it was, I mean, it's been a while. So I'm glad that you got the monkey off your back. Yeah. I'm glad that I got to get behind the camera and do some video.
You know,
pictures.
I need to say something right quick because we were talking about blood trails a while ago. And I meant to say this is the blood trail wasn't that great, but I think you were talking about how deer's bodies contort. The big reason that is the case is because that deer, once he straightened out to walk and run, his holes in his skin is in a different place than his holes in his body cavity.
Mm-hmm.
So those are closing up. So really, it gives you a little hope to where if you think you made a pretty good shot on a deer but you don't find good blood, there's a good chance that deer's dead and he just didn't bleed because it's all internal.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to check that
Stay
out.
Stay on it.
So I guess I'm not done podcasting because we need to talk about a few things with that. That buck, whenever we cleaned him, the shot ended up being way better than what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
I actually hit. So if you think about the way a deer's lungs look, they kind of look like a comma or something laid over on its side. So they're kind of a lobe on the front and kind of a point towards the back. I hit a third, like I hit the right third of this deer's lung. So I hit him more up towards the lobe and went right through that near side lung and then probably cut arteries on the bottom of the lungs and then went and just destroyed the offside liver. And he was a dead deer walking.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
He died within 170 yards, which is a long way.
And you said he was sprawled out, like he didn't bed down.
No, he fell over.
Yeah.
So he died.
Yeah.
You know, so deer up there just have a lot of blood in them. They can go a long ways. They're just tough, but it was a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me happy. Also, that deer had no fat on him. I could feel his backbone whenever I was taking pictures. And once I skinned him, he had no white skin underneath him. Like almost his whole body was a bruise.
Mm.
He had like places that were punctures. You could see like coagulated, nasty blood up in his neck. And I was like, I didn't hit him there. What is that? And I got to thinking, you know, it's from fighting.
Mm-hmm.
He's just been rutting hard for, you know, who knows, a month almost straight.
Dude, so. Let me just let you think about something real quick.
Okay.
Take a 10-inch G2. Uh-huh. And just shove it as hard as you possibly can in the top of your head and see how that feels. Like, that's got to hurt so freaking bad, dude.
It's bad. That's so bad. Golly.
Ooh, and then put it in your neck. And just, yeah. You know, it's like
he had two big old, like, scabbed over cuts on each side of his neck. You know.
Crazy.
And he's at that. I think he's a four-year-old. You know, I don't think he's a real old mature buck, but. Dude, 4 years old plus, I'm ripping on public land. You know, a good 3 year old probably, and ripping in Kansas, mm-hmm. to the truth. But that, I mean, that checked every box for me as a 4 year old. But he's at that age where it's fight central. He's mm-hmm. got all the energy.
He's as big as any other buck, just
exactly.
about, you know?
Yeah. But he doesn't have the experience, so he gets his butt whooped a whole bunch. But he's got all the energy to keep coming back. You know? I had to say that. I could not believe how many bruises were on that deer.
It's crazy, insane. Dude. You know, the buck in Illinois was not bruised up.
I bet not.
And so fat.
I bet.
Like, he was just, I you
kill
always
a deer.
Talk about it, dude.
I
want
to kill a deer late October next
late
year.
Late October, it's like.
That's the tasty ones. Those are the roast deer. That my deer is a jerky deer, you know what I mean?
yeah. He's already tenderized.
Yeah.
Well, dude, so many cool lessons. I'm sure there are other ones that we've forgotten that we'll put out in some podcasts coming up. And just the experience, you know, you'll be able to give advice and tips and thoughts from the experience mm-hmm. forever. You know,
we're actually going to do a little bit of that. We recorded a couple of videos about the shot placement and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, one of those will be on YouTube, and one of them will be on our Facebook page. There's a private Element Top Fans page.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a part of that, go, I guess, search it or whatever.
Yeah, I think
or
you can search it.
Send us a message or something like that, and we'll get you there. But it's going to show, like, all the blood and everything. So just in an effort to not get flagged and not, you know, be too gruesome, we're going to put that in a private group.
Yeah.
So sign up for that if you want to see that.
Yeah. So that'll talk about, it's just crazy to me how you squared up the front lobe of that one lung and completely missed the other lung, mm-hmm. best we could tell. You know, it's like, he didn't seem like he's at that bad of an angle, you know?
No. Yeah. And the arrow goes in the dirt. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe angles, but it's less than the 45, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's not like a downward
right,
angle.
Right, like a 100 or whatever. Yeah.
But either, anyway, man.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
that's why you kind of are worried, you know, when you shoot deer, because you just never know. Like, I heard somebody tell me the other day, like, if you've seen deer get hit in the lungs, but it just wasn't the right part of the lungs, mm-hmm. you know, and they still live, you know.
For an extended period of time, at least.
I mean, a lot of them can keep living and come back next year, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just nuts. So, you just always got this feeling when a deer runs off, you know. It's just not a good feeling. Because I was talking with our buddy Richard yesterday, and he was like, man, we had agreed on this, that our least favorite part of deer hunting is tracking a deer and struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's the worst, dude.
Mm.
So I feel for you guys if you've had that experience this year.
If you haven't, sooner or later, it's going to happen to you, so just be prepared for it to happen.
Well, that's what he said. He's like, man, I practice. You know, this dude shoots more arrows than any of us, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, man, I've kind of figured out that no matter how many arrows I shoot and how much I practice over time, every 8 to 10 deer, I have one that I can't find. It's just, they just, you know. I mean, one thing, you hunt in East Texas, ain't no telling what that deer's going to do when the bow slant.
He might get eat by a gator once he runs out there. You never know.
I mean, he's going to jump the string. If it's a doe, they weigh like 65 pounds,
right.
So they can jump so high. Like, I shot a deer, when I shoot that doe over at Cody's that we filmed, it was like one of the first deer.
2018? The one that made the circle and died in front of us? Yeah.
I thought that was 2017.
2017, you shot one by yourself over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, 2018, if you want to go searching through the YouTube stuff and find that, you can see we filmed it
at
120.
That was a wild. I know, does don't get a lot of attention on YouTube, but that was a wild little thing that happened.
It was. And she jumped so high after I shot her, man. It was crazy.
Nuts.
But anyway, we'll talk more about shot placement and all these other things.
Yeah.
And
subscribe to YouTube. That way you can be a part of the 10,000 giveaway.
Yeah, and we're probably going to do something along the lines of like a screenshot, making sure that, you know shows that you subscribe to our channel.
Yeah,
and
but send don't send those yet. We're not ready.
Right, we're gonna try to organize that a little bit better. But that just to give you a little heads up there, I'm gonna go sit in a stand and hopefully get another buck down. Hopefully between you and I, we can at least get one more this year. You know, it'd be fun. Yeah,
surely at least one more.
Surely, right. But I don't know. I'm feeling like a not so good hunter the last 2 weeks. So
it's about time. Because you've been a pretty good hunter for a long time.
Oh, it's just hard, man. Like the first three deer I killed this year, like were basically once I got the right wind, you know, in South Dakota, I literally we're going in and I'm doing the interview. You and me are, and I'm like, we're probably going to kill a deer tonight. I mean, it's like you just know, you know. And we go in, we both shoot deer that night. Mm-hmm. Illinois took 2 hours, mm-hmm. and I'm shooting a deer. In Texas, it was no time at all, really, before I shooting a deer. Like, and it's not. I'm not trying to put myself up on a pedestal or nothing. I'm just saying, when you do that, and then you go 3 weeks in November without shooting one, and not even really, you know, feeling like you're in the game most of the time. And now that it's been four hunts since I've seen a deer, I'm feeling like my season is over. Yeah. So.
Well, it's not. All you got to do is keep after it. You'll kill one out there.
Oh, I'm going to try. Maybe that's good advice for me and everybody else out there listening. I guess that's a good way to wrap it up. Guys, we appreciate your support. Again, like Casey said, just want to reiterate that. And whether it's on YouTube or here on the podcast, if you haven't subscribed, you've been listening to this thing on the podcast, do that as well. And you get notified when we release new ones. We're going to keep trying to get some big buck breakdowns out. I'm sure you guys heard Chris B's recently. That was such a cool thing that happened for him, man. Kind of similar to yours, just maybe 40 inches bigger, you know. So, so not to make you feel bad or anything, but he got pretty lucky, you know. So, and he'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys. Remember to stay out in the woods and get after it, like Casey just said. And remember, this is your element.
Living it.
You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.